and turn back to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 is where we're going to spend our time at tonight. I tell you, I enjoyed it staying in it this morning. I just thought we'd just turn right back there and spend some more time in it tonight. Amen.
Amen.
And before I begin reading, I just kind of want to give you a background of kind of what was leading up to this chapter here tonight. Jesus had been teaching to a multitude of people. If you go back and read there in chapter 4, he was teaching the people there in parables, and he'd spent a lot of time there. And the people were on the shore, and the Bible says that Jesus and the disciples, they were in the ship just off the shore, and he was teaching the disciples, and he was teaching the multitudes of people there that evening. And after he got done preaching and teaching the parables, he turned to his disciples, and he said, "Let's go over to the other side." So they got everything ready. The Bible said there were some other ships, small ships, that were there with them. And they began their journey across to the other side. Now, I've never been to Jerusalem. I've never been over into Israel or anything. But hopefully, maybe here in a couple years, our church is going to go back there in 2020. And hopefully, I might be able to get the chance to go and see all the Bible for myself. Amen. But the Sea of Galilee, what I've studied about it, is surrounded by mountains. The Bible says, well, it doesn't really say, but I've studied it out, and I've seen where the Sea of Galilee is about 600 feet below sea level. And as I studied about it, I found that there are storms that come upon the Sea of Galilee just like that. They're unexpected, and it happens all the time. So as they started their journey across the Sea of Galilee, there was this great storm, the Bible says, that arose. Now, the disciples, you know, many of them were fishermen. They've been out on this Sea of Galilee their entire life. They've weathered through many storms. But there was something different about this storm. There was something very different about this storm that caused them to be very fearful. The Bible tells us that they were in such a great storm that the ship itself was taking on water. And they weren't able to get the water out of the ship fast enough. But in all the chaos, in all the midst of this great storm that was going on, guess who was asleep in the back of the boat on a pillow? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know the story, one of the disciples, they ran over to him and said, "Lord, Lord, do you not care that we're going to perish?" And you know what happened next? Jesus just calmly rose up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And man, those disciples, that really got their attention, didn't it? Because they said, "What matter of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And then the Bible says just right after that, they were immediately on the other side. And that's where we pick up our story here in chapter 5 and verse 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And I'll begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chain." Wait a minute. I think I skipped it. "Immediately a man came out of the tombs with an unclean spirit," yes, "and his dwelling was among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." In verse 6, The Bible says then, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much, and would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out of the sea, and they went out to see it that was done. And they came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that this that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him, depart out of their coast. And when Jesus was come into the ship, listen now, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, again, we come before you this evening. Lord, we need your help. Lord, I need the unction from you to help me, Heavenly Father, with your precious word tonight. Lord, I want to leave nothing left unsaid that you want me to say tonight. I want to be a help to those that are here tonight. And Lord, most of all, I want to be a blessing to you. Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help me to rightly divide your word. And Heavenly Father, that we just get what you want us to see. And Lord, that we just take it home with us, and that it just doesn't fall on deaf ears, Lord, that we'll take it and do what you would have us to do. Lord, we love you tonight, and we just thank you for all that you give and do for us, for all that you have sacrificed for us. And Lord, we just ask all these things in your dear precious name. Amen. Amen. This morning, I introduced you to a man or a lady by the name of Miss Faith. Here again, in our passage of Scripture, we are introduced to a man. Bible doesn't give us a name. But through prayer, I believe the Lord laid a name upon my heart. And I've called this gentleman Mr. Freeman. That name, I believe, will make sense to you as we go along in this message tonight. First thing I want you to notice about Mr. Freeman is his situation. Miss Faith, she had this situation. Mr. Freeman's situation is completely different, though. Mr. Freeman's situation here in verses, you can find it in verses 2 through 5. The Bible says that he was full of unclean spirits. He had unclean spirits that he was possessed with demons and devils. It also says that he lived among the tombs. There was death all around him. The Bible also says that no man could bind him, not with chains, not with fetters. No man could tame him. He was a wild man. He was a wild man. The Bible says, day and night he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Mr. Freeman is in a desperate and terrible situation. Now, I don't know what you've been going through in your life personally. Maybe you're on top of the mountain tonight. Maybe you've not had any afflictions going on in your life. But there's one thing that I know as being a Christian, that you're either just come out of a storm or you're getting ready to go into a storm. And Mr. Freeman here, he is right in the middle of a storm in his life. I've been through a lot of storms in my life. One of the most horrible storms, I guess you could say, most trying storms that I've ever been through in my life was the loss of my mother. She got diagnosed with cancer. She had acute leukemia. And it was not too long after the first of the year, around early February, late February, is when she got diagnosed with this. And it rocked us. I'm the youngest of four, and my brother's older, and the oldest, and there's two girls in between us. And it rocked us. And at first, my mom, she didn't, because she had just went through all the stuff with my stepdad. He had died from prostate cancer. She had just went through all the treatments and everything with him, and she saw what it did to him. Personally, she saw what it did to him. So she knew that she was probably going to face those same struggles. And at first, she didn't want to do it. She didn't want to do it. She just wanted just to, because the doctor said that you either take the treatments or you really only got 3 to 6 months to live, because it was a very aggressive cancer. It's a bone cancer. So we prayed about it. I said, Mom, let's pray about it. Let's just see what God would have us to do, what God would have you to do. So we spent some time in prayer about it, and she came to us. She says she wanted to go through with the treatments, because she thought, you know, even if it just prolongs my life for another year or so, it'll be worth it to spend time with my family. Whatever time God gives me, it's worth it. So she began the treatments. It was very hard on her, very hard on her. I mean, she went from, you know, being very, you know, healthy and bright and stuff to not even being able to get out of bed in the mornings. And, you know, when you're taking those kind of treatments and everything, she lost all of her hair. Man, it was hard to watch my mom go through those stages. It was very hard on us. But thank God, around June, middle of June, late June, she went to the doctors, and her cancer was in remission. They got ahead of it. We thought that she was out of the darkness. Amen. And she lived that way for a few months. November 4th, her birthday, she went out with a couple of her sisters and her mom and my sisters. They went out as ladies went out to eat and to celebrate. When she got home that evening, she saw she had a missed call. It was from the hospital. The next morning, she got up and she called the hospital. And they said, well, Miss Newsom was her name. She said, Miss Newsom, can you come in? We need to talk with you. And she knew it probably wasn't something good. So she went in, she talked to the doctors, and the doctors had to tell her that her cancer was back. And because she wasn't fully back to health, I mean, she was doing really good, but because she wasn't back 100%, when she went through all those treatments again, it just completely wiped her out to the point to where she couldn't build up the intolerance, you know, to be healthy anymore. You know, her body just couldn't get back to it. her platelets continued to always drop out. She continued to had to go back and have platelets, give platelet treatments and things like that. And then late December, because she was so frail and broken and she had no way to fight off any infections or diseases, infection set in on her. And it started in her bowels and things, and it just spread throughout her whole body, and it eventually got up into her brain and stuff. And I tell you, man, that was so hard to watch my mom go through that storm in her life. And as I was walking the hallways the night before she passed away, my siblings, we had to make a decision whether to take her off the ventilator or not, because that's really the only thing at that point that was really keeping her alive. And we knew that she was ready to go home. We knew that her heart was right with the Lord. So we made a decision to take her off the ventilator. Well, she lasted through the night. And man, I walked a ditch in those halls that night, just praying to God, Lord, just take her home. Because I knew she wasn't really struggling, because they gave her morphine and stuff, so she wouldn't be feeling the pain and everything that she was going through. But just to watch her struggle breathing, it's like, man, it tore me up. I couldn't just sit there. So I paced the halls that night. I said, Lord, just take her home, please. Just take her home. I can't stand to see my mom going through this. And as I was pacing those halls that night, He laid this precious thought upon my heart. The first child that my mom was pregnant with, she went into labor too early, and she ended up having a preemie. But the thing was, because it was so early and it was, you know, her first baby, she was only, I believe she was 19 years old. They didn't have the technology back then to help premature births. Her name was Sharon. But she only got to live 2 days. But because of the emergency surgery and everything that my mom had, she never got to see her. She never got to touch her. Never. But as I was pacing those halls that night and I was crying out to God, He laid this precious thought upon my heart. And when my mom takes her last breath here, and she wakes up in heaven with Him, she was going to get to hold her daughter for the first time. Amen. She was going to get to tell her she loved her for the first time. And that night, I really understood what that Bible verse says, that peace that surpasses all understanding. It was so true to my heart that night. And when I went in back into that room, I no longer saw my mom there struggling. I just saw the peace of God on her. And later on that next day, she went home to be with the Lord. And I know that I have that blessed assurance in my heart that I'm going to see her again soon, I believe, one day. But Mr. Freeman, here in our passage of Scripture tonight, he was in a horrible, desperate situation. And because of his situation, he had to be removed from his family. He was there in this, surrounded by death. He was crying out in torments that he was so wild that nothing could tame him. Maybe his friends, maybe they tried to speak to him. Maybe they tried to help him. But because of his situation, he was just so possessed, they couldn't help him. And like as I shared with you this morning, I can kind of resonate with Mr. Freeman, because the struggles and everything that I was going through before I became a Christian, I felt that there was just no one that could help me. But I thank God Mr. Freeman's situation didn't stay there. From his situation, I also see his transformation in verses 6 through 17. I love this. This is the thought that came to me. The Bible says in verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, I want you to imagine this with me tonight. The reason that I went back and I shared the story of what happened there in chapter 4 was very important. Because this is, with my whole heart, this is what I believe happened. The Bible says that Mr. Freeman was up on them mountaintops, up in those tombs, day and night. That's where he lived. Undoubtedly, he saw storms come and go there on that Sea of Galilee many times. But as he sat there on this particular day, and he saw that great storm come out upon that sea, he saw something different happen that night. He saw the storms immediately stop. He saw those storm clouds just run away and hide behind the mountains. And when he looked down upon that Sea of Galilee, I bet it probably looked is like a sheet of glass. And there was something that was stirring within his soul. He said, I want that kind of peace. That's the peace I'm looking for right there. And when Jesus set foot on his side of the sea, he ran to him and fell at his feet and worshiped him and asked for help. Mr. Freeman's had this awesome transformation because he got his focus right. Amen. When we lose our focus, when we take our eyes and our sights off of what Jesus Christ is doing for us and what he is for us and who he is for us, and we start moving this way or we start moving this way, we begin to sink just like Peter did. Peter got his eyes off the Lord. He got his eyes upon his situations and everything that was going on around him, and he began to sink. Mr. Freeman here, he got his focus right. And there have been times in my life that I know when I began going to the left or to the right, that I knew I was failing. And I know I needed to get my focus back on Christ. Mr. Freeman, he had his focus in the right place. He ran to Jesus and he worshiped Jesus and he cried out to him. And then Jesus said unto him in verse 8, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. That tells me of the power of his word. His word is so powerful. The Bible says that his word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. His word spoke and created all that we have to see here today. Amen. All he had to do was just speak it, and everything was created. The Bible says that his word is so powerful that there in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they came and they bound Jesus with fetters and chains, they asked this question, who is Jesus? Which one of you are Jesus? And he said, I am he. And the Bible teaches us that when he said that those soldiers and the men, that they fell backward under the power of his word. His word is so powerful. His word can penetrate even the hardest of hearts. I had an experience this past year with a gentleman that I work with. I work at UPS, and I drive the semi-trucks for UPS. And we have some rough guys that I work with. One gentleman, he is an ex-member of the Pagans. How many of you know what the Pagans are? They're a motorcycle gang. He was an ex-member of the Pagans. Filthy, vile man. I didn't like being around him because every other word out of his mouth was very vulgar or very vain. I didn't like being around him. And he's one of those guys that, you know, I don't like thinking that way, but The flesh side of me gets to me sometimes, and I'm like, well, he's one that will die without Christ. You know, you just kind of write him off. But I was very humbled one Saturday morning. I just finished work, and I walked out the door, and there he was. He said, "Hey, Tim, come here." I thought, man, yeah, what's he going to say? So I went over to him. I said, his name was Chris. I said, "What's going on, Chris?" He said, "I've been listening to this man by the name of Adrian Rogers." I said, "Oh, you have?" He said, "Yeah, about 6 months ago," he said, "I was, you know, trying to find something on the radio to listen to, and I just came across him. And I just, whatever reason," he said, "I just started listening to him." And he said, "For the last 6 months," he said, "when I get in my tractor, I know what time he comes on. I've been listening to him every night." And he started asking me questions that was on his heart. And for about 25, 30 minutes, I sat there and I witnessed to him, and I answered his questions to the best of my knowledge. And we kind of left it at that. And it didn't really hit me until I got in my car on my way home that during that whole time that I was talking with him, he didn't cuss, not the first time. That happened on a Saturday morning. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that following week he was on vacation. And we went to a church service that next evening, or that Wednesday evening, and when I got home from church that evening, I had a message on my phone. Guess who it was from? It's from Chris. So I listened to that message, and he said, "Tim, you never believe what I did tonight." What he did last night, it would have been Tuesday night into Wednesday. He said, "I was tossing and turning in my bed." He said, "The whole day I couldn't eat. I couldn't rest." He said, "I was just struggling on what we talked about." And he said, "I laid down and I knew I had to try to get some rest, but," he said, "I just couldn't go to sleep. Man, what we talked about just kept just flooding my heart, flooding my thoughts." And he said, "I knew what I had to do." And he said he knelt down there beside his bed and he gave his life to the Lord. This was a man that I wrote off thinking, this is the man that is too hard to reach. But God showed me differently. And I so thank God for that. That he allowed me to be a part of that man's salvation. God has his way to humble me sometimes, and I'm grateful for it. I am. Mr. Freeman, he had this awesome transformation through the power of God's Word. But not only did he have this... Oh, let me read this footnote here. The unclean spirit said its name was Legion. A legion is the largest unit of a Roman army, which is consisting of about 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. This man was possessed with many demons. He was. Bible says here that the swine that they went into was about 2,000 swine. I think we can safely say that Mr. Freeman had a lot of problems. Amen. But he had this awesome transformation in his life. In verse 15, the Bible says, I love what it says here. Listen. And they came to Jesus, the people of the land. They came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. Are you notice this is all past tense now? Setting and clothed and in his right mind. Amen. Mr. Freeman was calm, clothed, and collected now. Amen. Amen. That is that peace that I was talking about that surpasses all understanding. Not only do I see the transformation that took place in Mr. Freeman's life, but he was also given a commission. The Bible also teaches us there in verse 18 and 19. When Jesus left from him, he wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to get in that ship and he wanted to go with him. He wanted to go anywhere and everywhere that he was. But Jesus bade him not. He says, no, what I want you to do is I want you to go home and everybody you come across, I want you to tell them what I've done for you. Amen. Amen. I tell people that when they're nervous about going out witnessing or when they're nervous about talking to someone, I said, the greatest thing that you have is your testimony. If you have not remembered or memorized one verse of Scripture, the least you can do is share your testimony with them. Because you never know what's going on in their life. And through your testimony and what God has done in and through you, very well may resonate with their life. Amen. And because they'll see the difference that God made in you, that gives them hope to know that that same difference could be made in them. And Jesus gave him the commission to go home and to tell everybody that he meets what has been done in his life. Amen? Amen. We all have that same commission, don't we? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I've had some people say, well, that doesn't pertain to me. I'm not a preacher. Well, they misinterpret what that name, the word preach there means. It just means simply to proclaim. Tell everybody what God has done for you. I love telling the story of my Jesus. I love telling it. Not only do I see the commission that was given Mr. Freeman, but here in verse 20, and we'll close with this. In verse 20, the Bible says, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all the men did marvel. Here's how I kind of imagine it going. I have children myself. I have three children, two girls and a boy. My daughter, she's the oldest, she's 9, and I have another daughter, she's 5, Avishai. And my youngest son, he's 4, his name's Davis. And because I'm a father, I believe that Mr. Freeman could have been a father himself. But because of his situation, he was separated from his family. Don't know how long. Bible doesn't tell us how long. But I suspect it was probably for a good amount of time that he was separated from his family. And I picture this in my mind's eye because I've been out on the road. I know what it is to be away from my family. And it doesn't happen every time I come home. But there have been times when I come home, especially this past season where I've worked a lot this past season for UPS. And when I come home, my kids are so excited to see me. They run up to me, they hug me, and they give me hugs and loves, and my wife. And in my mind's eye, this is kind of how I pictured it happen with Mr. Freeman. As he's walking down those streets, going back home, shaking hands with everybody, telling everybody what Jesus had done for him in his life, he's drawing nearer to his house. And maybe his kids are out front playing around, as kids do. Well, maybe his son looks down the road, and he sees somebody that looks familiar. He may have hadn't seen him for a while, but he sees someone that looks familiar. But maybe when he left the house, things weren't so good because there was a lot of trouble there. Maybe the last picture he has of his dad was not a good picture. Somebody that may have been angry all the time, depressed. But the man now he sees coming down the street isn't like that. Amen. He's singing. He's joyful. He's shaking people's hands. And as he's getting closer, his vision of him is getting a little more clear now. And his eyes are getting as big as saucers. And he's getting this joy within him. And he maybe turns to his brothers or sisters and he says, "Hey, that's Dad! Dad's coming home!" And maybe he runs in the house, "Mom! Mom! Dad's coming home!" And there was a great celebration that took place there in the Freeman's home that night. Amen. There's going to come a day, praise God, there's going to be a great celebration that's going to take place in our heavenly home. We're just pilgrims passing through this old place. This is not our home. I've heard a preacher say it this one way. This is our home away from home on our way to home. Amen. And that's exactly right. Mr. Freeman had this awesome transformation that took place in his life because he got his focus right on the Lord. How has your focus been this past year? Maybe you've been through some situations or trials and things. Maybe your focus isn't where it should be. Maybe because of those things, and because I tell you right, I know beyond a shadow that the devil is working overtime. He knows his end's coming. He knows it's getting closer and near every day. So he and his demonic demons, man, they've been working overtime. You can see it within our communities, the drug epidemic that is running so rampant. He knows his time's coming. But Mr. Freeman, he got his focus right. How's your focus tonight? I pray that within this next year, 2019 will be the greatest year of your life. But if your focus isn't right, it could very well be the most trying year of your life. With every head bowed, every eye closed tonight, if you kind of see your situation, or maybe there is a family member that is in this terrible situation, in this storm that is passing through their life right now, and you've been in prayer for them, you're right there with them, and you're trying to help them through. Maybe you personally are going through a storm, and you'd like for me to pray for you right now. Just simply raise your hand. Say, "Pray for me, preacher. Pray for my family member. Pray for my lost loved one." Thank you for those hands. Lord, Heavenly Father, again, we come before you tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that we can always come to you. No matter what it is that we face, then Lord, that we know that you will calm our storm. As Lord, as there's been so many storms that have rose up in my life, but Lord, Heavenly Father, we know that you gave me peace in and through each and every one. And Lord God, you saw the hands that were raised. You know their unique situations. You know the storms that are going on in and around them and in their lives. Lord, Heavenly Father, I ask you tonight, by the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you intervene in those storms. And Lord, Heavenly Father, that you just send that peace that their loved ones are so praying for, whether it be an answer to something, whether it be a way of salvation, whatever it may be, Lord, you know exactly what it's going to take to reach those people. And Lord, we lay them all humbly at your feet tonight. And Lord, we just want to tell you tonight, as we end this year and look forward to 2019, Heavenly Father, we want to fix our gaze and our focus upon you like we have never done before. And God, that we may be quick to turn to you when storms arise. Lord, we love you tonight, and we thank you for your precious word that you have given us. And we ask, Lord God, that you just be with all of us that are come out tonight as we part our ways and we go back home. And as they go throughout this week, Lord, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you encourage them, that these words and this message, Lord, that you gave me tonight will well up in them this week, and they'll have that remembrance of what you have done, not only for them, but Lord, what you have done for Mr. Freeman. And Lord, we just ask all these things in your dear precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Bless you. Thank you, sir. You may go.
Dismissed.
Well, everybody go at once now, we'll get trampled.